would like to ask you tonight, if you will, to please turn in your books and your Bibles to the book of Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. Most of you know that the book of Isaiah, as well as many of the other Old Testament books, describe their prophecies about the coming of Christ and about the coming of His kingdom and various things that happened during the life of Jesus Christ. And as you read the New Testament, you find many of those prophecies that were fulfilled during the life of Jesus. I think that probably of all the books in the Old Testament, that probably the book of Isaiah contains more clear prophecies about the coming of Christ and the coming of His kingdom, the establishment of His kingdom, and the things that would take place when Jesus came. I think the book of Isaiah probably describes more of that clearly than any other book in the Old Testament. At least to me it does. I think it's wonderful. I've thought often about, it's foolish thinking I suppose, but I've thought about if I could have lived in any other age, when would I have liked to have lived? I sometimes think I would like to have lived back in the days of Abraham. And then I think about living in tents, and I think about how hot it was and not being able to stay cool and warm and all of that. And so I decide I would rather live in a little more modern day age like we're living in today. But sometimes I think I would like to have lived back in the days of Jesus Christ. I would like to have been here and seen Him walking the face of the earth. The more I think about it, I think we live in the very best age that has ever been. Now, I don't mean that this is the best as far as moral conditions are concerned, but I do believe that the children of God who want to serve God, I believe that we have more blessings today than God's people have ever had. I think that we have it easier than God's children have ever had before. Because as you read the Word of God and you read about the saints of God that have lived in days gone by, you'll find that in all ages, the saints of God have suffered great persecution. They've been put to death. They've been threatened. They've been put in prison. They've been hated in all ages of the world. Anybody who serves God is going to experience trouble in their lives. They're going to be hated by many people. And that's still true today. But I believe that in America that we still have more freedom and more liberty to stand and preach and teach the Word of God without serious persecution, without being killed, than any Christians that have ever lived. Right now in America, in 2006, there are still Christians in other countries who are being put to death because of their belief and stand for Jesus Christ. So even though today we have many problems in America, and I certainly believe and know that our nation has turned her back on God in many ways, thus far we still have not experienced the sufferings that many saints of God have experienced in days gone by. So I think that probably I live in the best time I ever could have lived in all the time, the 6,000 years that this earth has been here. I think I live in the best time that I've ever could have ever lived. And I live in the best country that I could have ever lived in. And I have the privilege to be able to read and study God's Word. Think about my daddy's generation and before them. Most of the ministers back then did not have the privilege to be able to just spend their whole... They were not full-time pastors. Many of them weren't. The daddy's generation was a generation where that transition was taking place among Primitive Baptists, and he was one of the first full-time pastors. But did you know it's a great blessing to be able to read and study God's Word, to be a full-time pastor, to be supported by a church so that you can read and study God's Word? That's a great privilege that most ministers have today that we need to realize that we need to be thankful for. And the privilege that I have not only to be able to have the time to read and study God's Word, but we have so many things that make it much easier for us to study today. I mean, I haven't learned how to use the internet like I could, but there are so many things that we have at our disposal. I think that if all you had is a good concordance and a Bible, I think you can find everything you want. And many of our older preachers didn't even have a concordance. So it was hard for them to find scriptures. And I think many of them thought there were things in the Bible they had heard, and they thought it was right out of God's Word. But if they didn't have a concordance, many times they couldn't prove whether it was or wasn't in God's Word. It doesn't take but a third grade student to be able to take a concordance and find any scripture that you think is in the Bible or find that it's not in the Bible. So I think we live in a wonderful age. And I think one of the things that makes our age so wonderful is to be able to read these prophecies in the Old Testament about the coming of Jesus Christ and the coming of His kingdom, and be able to see that we are today experiencing what those prophets were saying is going to happen when Jesus came and established His kingdom. And in Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, there are so many prophecies about the coming of Christ and the coming of His kingdom. And I want us to go through the book of Isaiah tonight. What we're doing tonight is probably a little different than what we normally do. But I want to go through the book of Isaiah, and there's one particular prophecy that's on my heart and mind tonight that we need to thank God for. Did you know we're able to travel a lot easier today than people used to be able to travel? Just to get on I-75. When I was a boy in Cordele, Georgia, I-75 was not built, but they were in the process of building it. And I used to ride my bicycle down there. I-75 was not there at all. And then they started laying out that highway, and they started building the bridges and all the things to lay out Interstate 75. And I just think about how blessed we are to have the highways that we do. And that's what's on my heart tonight, is not the natural highways that we have, to know and understand that from the Word of God that there is a highway for God's people. There is a spiritual highway for us to travel on. And just as we are blessed today to have many highways that we can get in our cars and travel on, God has given us a highway, a spiritual highway, and we need to thank God for that highway. And we need to be able to realize what a blessing it is for us to walk on this highway that God has prepared for His children. And it is a highway that Jesus and John the Baptist prepared this way. He kind of laid the groundwork. He did the surveying or other things, you might say. But Jesus Christ is the one that laid down this highway for God's people to travel on while they live. And I pray that if you're not on God's highway, that you'll get on God's highway. Because there's no other way to experience the joys and blessings that we have in this life except it be on God's highway. If you have your Bibles, look at Isaiah chapter 11. We're going to begin in Isaiah chapter 11. I'd planned to read a good bit out of this chapter to lay the foundation. I encourage you to go home and read the earlier part of the book of Isaiah chapter 11. I want to just read maybe the first couple of verses. Isaiah chapter 11 verses 1 and 2. The Word of God says, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." Now who is that rod and what is that branch? Who is that? That's prophecy about the coming of Jesus Christ. "There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." Verse 2 says, "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." That just kind of lays the foundation about the coming of Christ. And then it talks about this highway. I want you to come down to Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 16. Look in your Bibles. Now, if you don't have your Bibles tonight, you're going to get lost. You're not going to be able to keep up with all the things that we're looking at. Isaiah chapter 11, please look in your Bibles. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 16, the Word of God says, "And there shall be," see, this is a prophecy. Now, we already have it today. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 16 says, "And there shall be an highway for the remnant of His people." Now I want you to understand that all of God's children don't travel on this highway. I'm talking about all of God's children who are living right now do not travel on this highway. There is only a remnant. You notice that word There is only a remnant that travel this highway. There shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. He says, the highway we're going to have, as Isaiah was writing, the highway that's going to come is like another highway. What's the highway he's going back and talking about? Which highway was that? No, back up further. Like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. You remember? The children of Israel came up out of the land of Egypt, and God prepared a way for the children of Israel. Did God prepare a highway through the Red Sea for the children of Israel? And that's the same thing he's saying now. He's saying now, I want you to understand that when the kingdom comes, that there's going to be a highway for the remnant of God's people, and it's going to be like that highway that the children of Israel had when they came out of Egypt. Now we're going to have, and we do have today, the highway for God's obedient children. And there's only a remnant of God's children that travel on this highway. Have you ever gotten off a highway? Have you ever been on a highway, a super highway? Have you ever been on I-75 and you decided, well, I'll get off of I-75. We're going to go a different way. Well, that's what happens to God's children many times, is that even though God has prepared this high, and I want you to just think of, instead of just highway like you normally think of a highway, I want you to think of a H-I-G-H, two different words, because you'll see it's written that way as we go through the Scriptures, a high way. There's a high, H-I-G-H, there's a high way, and there is a low way. And that's what this is talking about. It's talking about the way of God, the way that God has prepared for His children, the way that we're supposed to walk is a high way. It's a way different than the other people walk. It's a way different than the world walks. It's a way different than most of God's children walk. And there is a remnant of the people of God who walk this high way. And when you walk this highway, you'll experience great blessings. There are tremendous blessings that are found when you walk this high way. In fact, you will not experience those blessings any other way than by walking this high way. Walking the high way. Take the high road. How many of you have ever heard that expression? Take the high road. Well, that's what this is talking about. When you take the high road, I believe that many of our parents and grandparents, many of our forefathers, they understood that there was a high way for God's people. And he says they began to use that expression instead of taking the high way. They said, take the high road. And whenever our forefathers talked about taking the high road, they were talking about walking better than most people walk. Not for your glory, not for you to brag about you walking some high way, but the fact, the only way, you see, what did we close with this morning? You remember the three things that are required of us this morning? God said in Micah 6:8, what were the three things? First of all, he says, this is what God requires of you, to do justly and to love mercy and to, what was the third thing? To walk humbly with thy God. Now, if you think about walking humbly with God, the way we think, would you think that would be the low way or the high way? Well, it is the high way, but yeah, that's right. But in my mind, I think about the walking humbly with my God, I think about that being a low way. Why? Why do I think that? Well, I think about humble as being somebody that's low. But listen, brethren, when you're walking humbly with your God, you're walking the high way. You're above anything that this world can ever offer. Any way that seems right to a man, the Word of God says, there is a way that seems right unto a man. The end thereof are the ways of death. There is a way that seems right to us. That's the wrong way. God's way is different than our way. God's way is the highway. And did you know you can't even find this highway except God guide you to this highway? We need to pray that God will help us, A, to find the highway, and then that when we see this highway, that we will walk on that highway, and that we'll stay on that highway, and that we won't get off on some other way. Because the devil, as you walk on the highway of God, the devil is always going to be calling you, just like he called Nehemiah and the other saints to come down off the wall. And they said, oh no, we will not come down. When you're on this highway of God, you need to always respond when the devil calls you and tempts you and tries to get you off the highway. You need to say, oh no, we will not come down, because the work that God has called us to is too great for us to come down. We refuse to get off of the highway. And I pray that God will help us to have that determination in our lives that we will not get off of God's way. You know, so many people think that the Bible is a roadmap to teach you how to get to heaven when you die. The Bible is not a roadmap to teach you how to get to heaven when you die, but the Bible is a roadmap. It is what teaches us the highway for God's people to live here in this earth, so that they can, you know where that highway leads to? It leads to Christ, who is the head of the kingdom, and He's the one that leads us on this highway. We need to pray, God, help us to walk this highway. And thank God we have this highway. Listen, brethren, there are children of God that have lived in this world that have never had the privilege of being on this highway that I'm talking about. This was a prophecy about the coming of this highway. Isaiah was saying, oh, I see this highway down the road. I see that in the future the king is going to come. I see there's going to come a man before the king, and he's going to prepare the way of the Lord. Who was that man that was going to come and prepare the way of the Lord? Who was that man? John the Baptist. And you know what he came and did? He prepared the way of the Lord. And then what did Jesus do? He laid down that highway. He walked the steps. He paved the way for me and you to be able to walk that highway. And I thank God. Listen, brethren, we've got the best. I am more blessed than anybody on this earth that's ever lived before us. We have a greater blessing. We have a highway, God's way. And it's clear to us to see God's way. I don't have to wonder about what's the right way. Did you know that? I don't have to wonder about what's right. Do I have to wonder about what's right about raising children? Do I have to wonder about that? I sit down with people sometimes and they wonder, well now, I just don't know whether we ought to spank our children or not. I'm just real frustrated about whether or not we ought to spank our children. I read this book and it says do, and this book says don't, and I'm just real confused. I'm just real frustrated. I don't know how to raise my children. I tell you, the reason you're frustrated is because you're listening to men instead of looking to God. When you look at God's Word and God's way, that's the highway. And there's no other way to raise children except God's way, and them turn out right and good. And I'm telling you, you cannot follow God's Word and them turn out wrong. When you teach and walk and live the way the Word of God says to live, and you try to raise your children the right way, God's going to bless that. That's without exception. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Now that's the Word of God. That's God's way. You train them up right. If they're not trained up right, that's not the child's fault. That's the parent's fault. And there's not anybody here that doesn't know the right way. Did you know that? If the children are not going in the right way, it's because you're failing to teach them the right way. Because I don't think there's any parents here that don't know the right way. I don't think there's any parents here that haven't seen the highway. Does the church know what the highway is? Is the highway for the church different than the way that most churches follow and teach and believe? Yes, the highway is different. You know why the highway is different for the church? It's because the way that Christ established for His church is this highway. And His way for His church is different than anything else men can come up with. I can come up with schemes and devices to fill up this building with people, and I can fill up this building with people, but it not be the church of Jesus Christ. But when the church is what God teaches His people ought to be, when there is a remnant that will walk this highway, you know what the Lord will do? The Lord will add to His church. That's what God will do. Why? How do you know that? How do you believe that? Well, I believe it and I know it because Jesus said it. God will add to His church. Have no fear about it. I'm not afraid of this church ever dying if, I-F, capital I-F, if we walk His way. Amen. Any other way will not work. Any deviation from His way, any time you get off the highway a little bit, you're headed away from God. And when you head away from God, the church will be destroyed. Yeah. God's way. God's way. Does God have a way for ordaining? Does God have some qualifications for preachers and deacons? Right. You depart from that, you got off the highway. Now, do we think we've come up with a better way? Sometimes I confront some of our older preachers that participate in ordinations of men they know are not qualified to preach the gospel. I say, why did you do that? They say, well, we have so many churches that are dying because they don't have preachers. Let me tell you something, brethren, they got down off the highway. Anytime we think we're going to fix the problem by disobeying God's word and following some other way, we're headed down a road to destruction. We're not on God's highway. There's a way for God. Does church discipline, is it like today? Do people like to hear about, talk about church discipline? They don't like to talk about church discipline, but listen, brethren, that's God's way. That's the highway. Amen. It's the only way that God's church will ever continue is if we follow what God's word says. Amen. There's a highway, and I want to repeat again, that highway is different than anything you and I will ever come up with. Look at Isaiah. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21. Listen to this. Thank God for this beautiful truth here in Isaiah chapter 30. Think about this highway. Well, all we're going to do is glance through the book of Isaiah and just think about, talk about the highway that God has prepared for His people that we now already have. Now see, when Isaiah was here, he didn't have this highway. Do you understand that? All they talked about was one day there's going to be a highway. You know, they've been talking about that around Waycross for a long time, haven't they? Oh, they're going to have a highway here and they're going to have a highway there. Years and years they've been talking about highways. But listen, brethren, these Old Testament saints, they were looking for a highway and they knew it was real because the promise wasn't from some politician. The promise was from God. Amen. And now today we have the highway. Yeah. You see, we live in a better age than any people that have ever lived on the face of the earth. Yeah. You know, I have to. Maybe it's quenching the spirit. I have to just hold my tongue and keep from shouting. Yeah. I'm glad we have this highway. Yeah. I am. Amen. I thank God He's given me the privilege. You know, every time I pass by I-75, and that little, it's the intersection where the rocket is on I-75 at Cordell. You know where that little spaceship is there? Well, that spaceship wasn't there then. Wasn't any of that other stuff there. But that's where I used to ride when they started hauling in dirt for that little overpass there. Ride my bicycles, nothing but woods to begin with. And I kept thinking, one day there's going to be a highway. And here I am, 50-something years old, and I ride up and down that highway now. It was nothing but just a vision, something people talked about for a while. And then it was something that work began on. And then finally today we're experiencing the joys of that. Well, I'm glad we have those super highways, but I'm more thankful for this highway. I'd rather go back to the horse and buggy days and ride down nothing but dirt roads and have this highway that I'm trying to preach to you about tonight. I'd rather have this highway than any other highway there is in this world. Amen. This is God's way. Amen. It's a highway. Listen, Isaiah chapter 30. Listen to verse 21. Isaiah 30, verse 21. The Word of God says, you know, listen, brethren, let me tell you this. Sometimes God's children don't have the Bible. Did you know that? There are a lot of God's children that don't have the Bible. There are a lot of God's children, they're not sure what to do because they don't have the Bible. You know what God does for them when they don't have the Bible? God just, He whispers in their ear, says, now here's the way to the highway. Here's the way to the highway. God guides them to the highway. And then when they get on that highway, you know what He does? Whenever the devil comes along and says, go off to the right, He says, nope, this is the way. Stay on this way. And He says, go to the left. He says, nope, this is the way. Walk in it. Watch this. Isaiah 30, verse 21. Here's what the Word of God says. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, the Word of God says, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee. You know what that word behind you is? Have any of you ever heard that word behind you? Have any of you heard Jesus right behind you, talking to you, whispering to you, saying, don't go that way? And this is what He says in Isaiah 30, verse 21, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Have you ever had that happen in your life when you were trying to make a decision in your life and you weren't sure what to do and yet you could hear that still small voice? You could hear that voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. This is the highway. When ye turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left, who is it that's guiding you when you turn to the right hand and left? Well, let me restate that. Who is it that is tempting you to turn to the right and to the left? It's the devil. And what is God telling us when we are tempted to turn to the right and the left? God is telling us now, this is the way. You stay this course. Have you ever been tempted to get off the highway? Listen, brethren, there are times that I want to just back up on a lot of things in God's Word. Did you know it? There's times I've been tired of church discipline. There's times I've been tired of a lot of other things in God's Word. There's times I've wanted to compromise. There's times I've wanted to just back up and sit down and say, you know, looks like we'll just go along with everything. Do you ever get weary and tired of God's way? Well, that's probably not a good way to say it, but sometimes you get weary, don't you?
Yeah.
Do you get battle fatigue? My daddy got battle fatigue during World War II. Yeah. And sometimes you get battle fatigue and you just want to lay down and give up. Well, you know what you hear behind you whenever the devil says, just lay down, just give up, just go to the right and left. You know what you hear? A little still, small voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. Get up. Get up.
Amen.
Don't you lay down.
No.
Don't you turn to the right or the left.
No.
Don't you stop walking in that way.
No.
Don't think you can sit down on that highway. You'll get run over if you sit down on this highway.
Yeah.
You can't just sit down on that highway. You've got to walk on that highway. You see that? You see that's contained in this verse right here? He says, this is the way. Walk ye in it. What did we study about this morning? The last thing we studied about? Walk humbly with thy God. Well, when you walk humbly with your God, you know you're going to be walking up there on that high way, walking humbly with your God.
Amen.
Some of you are trying to walk that highway, and I thank God for you. Some of you might have gone off the highway, and I think you're getting, here's an entrance ramp, you're getting back on the highway. And it makes my heart, nothing makes me any happier than to see somebody getting back up on the highway. Yesterday when I was talking to this brother on the phone that was at church this morning, who drove a long ways to be here this morning, you know, yesterday I talked to him, and when we hung up I said, I believe he's going to leave where he is and be at God's house this morning. And Teresa said, well, isn't it good to have a success story every now and then? Isn't it good that somebody listen to you every now and then? I said, yeah, it is. It is. It's exciting. It's exciting. I told him this morning, I said, you know, I like guns. Some of you know I like guns, but I said, you being here this morning meant more to me than you handing me a brand new Browning automatic rifle. That meant something, didn't it, Brother David?
Amen.
But him just being here this morning meant more to me than him handing me over a brand new Browning 30-06 rifle. Here's what John says. John says, I have no greater joy than my children. What? You know what the next word is? Brother John, tell me. Walk in the truth. See? Now, you see what walking in the truth is, don't you? Anybody connect the dots there between walking in the truth and walking on the highway? Do you see how that's the same thing? If you walk in the truth, if you're walking in the truth, are you walking with God? Because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you're walking humbly with your God, you're walking in truth. And when you're walking in truth, you're walking on the highway. And whenever you're walking on the highway, the devil's going to come along. There'll be so many exits. Do you know, he'll just open up exit for you. He'll give you a brand new exit. He'll give you a little ramp off every day. The little ramps, left and right. And thank God the God's behind you saying, now, listen here. You listen to me. You walk this highway. You walk. This is the way. Walk ye in it. Now go to Isaiah, turn forward to Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah 35. Oh, can you imagine Isaiah seeing the coming of this highway? I'm so sorry for Isaiah. Well, I'm glad Isaiah got to see it coming, you know. But I'm glad I'm here in it, on it. Isaiah chapter 35, listen please to verse 8. He's still talking about it. Why do you think Isaiah keeps rejoicing in this highway? Old Isaiah had a rough road to hoe. He had a hard road to walk down. Now, there was a highway in a sense for him, but it was nothing like the highway you and I have for us. Jesus has laid down this highway. In Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 8, the Word of God says, this is still Isaiah prophesying about the coming of this H-I-G-H highway. In Isaiah 35 verse 8, the Word of God says, and an highway shall be there. He's talking about, you go home and read. You go home and read all these passages and all the things that are around it. There are a lot of other things in addition to this highway, but the one thing I'm keeping on going back to is this highway. He says, and an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called what? What's it called? The way of holiness. You know, there's a church here in town called something, Holiness Baptist Church. I don't remember the name of it, but did you know we ought to be Holiness Baptist Church? We ought to be holiness. Some people say, oh, they're holiness. Well, you better be holiness.
Yeah.
If you're not going to be holiness, you're not going to try to walk the holy way. You're not walking the highway.
Yeah.
Now, I can say I'm a holy,
walking in holiness.
That's right. Thank you, Brother David. I can say I'm walking in holiness, but not be walking in holiness. In fact, if I'm running around telling you I'm walking in holiness, I'm not walking in holiness. Because holiness is humility. And if I'm running around telling you I'm walking in holiness, I'm not walking in holiness. But if I'm walking in holiness, God knows I'm walking in holiness. It's the way of holiness. This highway is the way of holiness. We need to be a holiness people.
Amen.
We need to be a holy people. Jesus said, "Be ye therefore holy, even as your Father in heaven is holy." There's a way of holiness. And you can't get out of that way of holiness without getting off this highway. Because that's what this highway is called. It's called the way of holiness. Now go with me to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40 verse 3. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 3. The Word of God says in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. Oh, who's he beginning to talk about now?
John
the Baptist. Oh yeah, because this is repeated. Listen, all these scriptures I'm telling you about, they're all repeated in the New Testament. If we had all night to preach and you could stay awake without falling out the window and dying, I'd probably do that. But listen, I just want you to know, this is all promising. I just want you to see how wonderful it is. Isaiah saw all this before it happened. Isn't that wonderful? Now, I said I felt sorry for Isaiah, but I tell you, Isaiah was a blessed man to be able to see it before it ever got here, wasn't he? I think he saw it just as clear as you and I can see it. That we can walk on it. Isaiah 40 verse 3 says, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." You know who did that? That was John the Baptist. He made a highway for our God. He prepared the way of the Lord. John the Baptist went before him. And what a wonderful privilege that was. Now, go with me to Isaiah 55. I want you to listen again now. We're talking about God's highway. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. Isaiah is still prophesying, still thinking about it. Oh, you know, I wonder if Isaiah didn't think, I wonder if I'll get to live and see it all happen. I think he probably thought it might be happening any day. He was looking forward to this highway. In Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, the Word of God says, this is God speaking to His people. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." Listen carefully now. "Neither are," listen carefully, Isaiah 55, verse 8, "neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." You hear that? Let me repeat it again. "Your ways are not my ways, saith the Lord." Come up with any way you want to. Your way is not God's way. You come up with any imagination you want to. Your way is not God's way. Your way, anything you come up with in your little head, will never be God's way. God's way is different than our way. And then he says in verse 9, he says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways." Do you see this highway? My ways are higher than your ways. And my thoughts than your thoughts. God's way is the only way. It's the right way. It's the good way. It's the holy way.
Yeah.
It's the highway.
Narrow way.
I don't say that, Brother David. You and Brother Mike, y'all always jump ahead and get to, y'all get to the climax before I'm ready. Listen, brethren, go to Isaiah 62. We'll almost close in Isaiah 62. And then we'll close with, I'm going to let Brother David read the scripture. Listen, Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah 62, listen please to verse 10. Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 10. The Word of God says in Isaiah chapter 62, go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. You know what I'm doing tonight? I'm casting up the highway. I'm preaching to you. I'm declaring to you the highway, the way of God, the way of holiness. I'm declaring God's way. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. Now listen. Lift up a standard. Lift up a standard for the people. Do you know what this church is supposed to do? We're supposed to be lifting up a standard for the people, saying, "This is the way. Walk ye in it." We're supposed to be declaring, we're supposed to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And we're supposed to be declaring, this is God's way, this is the highway. And give the authority from God's holy word. Now this is the way that we're supposed to walk. This is how we're supposed to live. This is the way to do justly. This is the way to love mercy. This is the way to walk humbly with thy God, is walk on this highway. Well, David closed with Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Well, read it. I want to read it. I want to be sure you get it exactly right. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Jesus now, he comes and he starts talking about this highway that Isaiah has been talking about and rejoicing in, and you and I can rejoice in tonight. This highway. Listen, there's no other way for you to be happy except to walk this highway. Stay on the highway. All right, now, every other way is going to lead one way, and Brother David's going to tell you about that. Matthew chapter 7, listen to verses 13 and 14.
Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it.
Now, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way. This highway now, highway, this isn't some 8-lane highway that's real broad. This is a narrow highway. It's a straight and a narrow way. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and F-E-W, few there be that find it. Do you remember in Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 16? Do you remember what the Word of God said about that highway that was going to come? It said there would be a... Thank you. There would be a remnant that would walk on that highway. What does Jesus now tell us about this straight and narrow way, this highway? He says, few there be that find it. Have you ever found the highway? Have you ever seen the highway? You ever been on the highway? You ever gotten off the highway? You need to pray, God, help me to get back to the highway. I want to get back on the highway. The high road. May God help us is my prayer for Christ's sake.